Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is your host, Pastor Katie Pierce, and Nothing But the Truth with Truth Deliverance Ministries. And we are calling today, or actually going to be talking about today, teen or youth dropouts in the church. Actually, this conversation was started with our own Dr. Apostle Shawnette Halston at a TV segment that she did with the youth of the AEN Network. And some of the answers that they gave were so astounding until I really wanted to just kind of continue it with our own Truth Deliverance Ministry, young people. So I have them here with me today, and we're going to be discussing this. They're going to be coming to you uncut and just letting you know exactly what they feel as far as the church and what the church's answer and response are, if we're meeting a need that is actually in the body of Christ. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit in a few minutes. But if you will, join me in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, oh God. We come, oh Lord God, asking that you would be in the midst of this conversation, oh Lord God. We pray now, oh Lord God, that we would have an ear to hear, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and that the conversation that takes place on today will effectuate change in the body of Christ, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, for those youth who have fell away for whatever the reason, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that the churches will be once again filled with young people, oh Lord God. The lost age groups that have been falling through the cracks of the church, oh Lord God, we pray that there be a reestablishment, God, that a firmament will be set with them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we just love you and we just honor you the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, first and foremost, I wanted to let the young people introduce themselves. We have with us on today, along with our young people, we also have our very own Elder Bethel Hall, who will be ordained as the youth pastor of TDM in 2016. So we definitely wanted her to be here and to be a part of this segment as well. So we welcome Minister Bethel. And I'm just going to ask that our young people will introduce themselves as well as their age. Minister Bethel, you don't have to divulge that information, but we're definitely going to let her say hello to our listening audience.
Hello, I'm Minister Bethel Hall. I don't mind divulging my age. I am 34.
Okay, she remembers. Hallelujah. She's 34. Okay, so we're going to start it. Remember, you have to project because the phone is way over here. So definitely project so that they can listen to it. I'm asking those who are listening on Blog Talk, if they're not clear, could you please text me at area code 708-574-2533. Repeating the number, 708-574-2533. If you're not hearing clearly, if we need to speak up, we can kind of rearrange the room as that their voice would be more audible for you. Thank you. Okay, let's start with this young man here. Your name and your age.
My name is Dante, and I'm 15.
Okay. My name is Minister Jari, and I'm 14.
My name is Rashawn Jackson, and I'm 17.
Okay. My name is Bilal Abdullah, and I'm 14.
My name is Kiara Forte, and I'm 17.
My name is Jaden Roberts, and I'm 13.
Amen. Amen. So these are a part of Truth Deliverance Ministry, and our church primarily is made up of young people. I do appreciate God for entrusting these young minds with me as a pastor. And so as we begin our talk on today, we want to talk about some of the reasons why our young people feel that the church is not answering their needs, or why they feel that young people are dropping out of the church at alarming levels. Some of the statistics that I actually looked up said as much as 80% of young people are dropping out of the evangelical church. That's alarming. That's epidemic. And we really need to do something about that. And so, again, there was a variation in the percentile, but yet it's still very alarming for us. So I'm just going to give over to them and let them just begin to dialogue. If you need to move something or anybody need pencil, paper, everybody's okay? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, great. Great. You need paper? Okay. So we're just going to start off with each of you again. What do you think the church is missing, or what do you think that the church is not doing to answer the needs of young people? Come on.
I feel like this isn't really in our church because...
You need to speak louder. I'm getting texts. We need to speak louder. So they're going to come closer to the phone. Okay, go ahead.
This isn't really at our church, but, like, previous churches I've attended, like, I feel like they need to have a more availability for, like, you to have in the church, like, roles for them to do.
Okay.
Besides just, like, being the usher or something like that.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
So give them more responsibility.
Yeah, so, like, they just don't sit down and then listen to, like, sermons and stuff.
Okay.
Nothing bad.
Good. Thank you, Kiara. Come on. Let's move expeditiously.
This is Bilal, and I think that a lot of churches, not our church, but a lot of churches, they go to the needs and concerns of the adults more, and they tell how adults should get over what they went through instead of addressing the teens. And how to stop them from going through what the adults went through.
Okay. Could you give me an example? What would you say right now as a young person, what would you say would be a very important need that needs to be addressed in the church?
I feel that they should, like, either talk to the children or go back on what they went through
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, teach on mostly focusing on them and, you know, talking to them about it.
But what are our problems? What is one problem that you feel young people are going through that are not being addressed in the church?
Violence.
Violence. Okay, good. Okay, come on, give me some feedback. Nobody else? Come on.
It's Minister Jari, and I feel like the churches, they mostly attacking the adult situation, and they're basically focusing on the adults more than they're focusing on the youth. The youth have situations just like they do. We're going through a lot, especially as African Americans. We getting killed. Police are, they have police brutality against us. And we just need to start talking more to the youth and not just to the adults of the church.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Now, you mentioned some of the areas of concerns, like you talked about police brutality, and that definitely is a current event, something that we're dealing with right now. Give me some suggestions from your standpoint as young people as to how the church can address that within the body. How can the church address such a topic? Just off the hip, how do you feel like the church can address that issue?
This is Bilal again. I think that the church should, you know, give examples to where, like, say, for instance, it was a young boy. He had a BB gun, and, you know, the policeman shot him. Maybe the churches should, you know, tell the children if they ever come to this situation, then they need to tell them how to go about doing it instead of doing what the little boy did, or how to be respectful and what the policeman is looking for.
Okay. Somebody else, elaborate on what he just said, or give me your own suggestion.
I feel like this can kind of go for more than just police brutality, but I feel like it should be counselors, like, within the church that, especially for the youth, that it will be known that everything is, like, extremely confidential. So they can just come to, like, their issues, their problems, and then, like, the counselor will probably talk them out of it, or, like, you never know, like, that's networking, like, they could probably get a job through them or something like that.
Okay. So, counselors at the church. Now, most churches you hear of, they have youth counselors. I'm sure you all have been to a churches with a youth counselor. What's the difference in what you're saying and what the churches already have implemented or already established as a youth counselor? What is it that you, what are you looking for different?
Well, I don't know about a youth counselor.
Oh, okay.
So, I would say, I can tell you what will be ideal, what will make me want to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, and talk to me as a youth counselor?
As a youth counselor,
okay,
yeah.
Fine. Okay, I'm a youth counselor.
So, I feel like the person should be someone who, like, isn't very, I don't want to say isn't popular, but it's somebody that, like, you know, is not going to go blabbing to the parents about, like, if a girl is, like, you know, I want to have, like, birth control or something like that.
Okay.
So it should be someone who either is, like, kind of a loner or something, or somebody who you know is going to be confidential.
Okay.
And I feel like it should be someone who, this is kind of contradicting, but someone who probably does have good networking skills out there if they are trying to, like, give scholarships or, like, give jobs that would have the resources to do so. And I feel like it should be someone who will actually be, like, a good leader. Because I feel like that's something else that, like, turns off kids my age is, like, if you're being a hypocrite.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, don't go anywhere, because your last statement is going to lead me into another question. But I do want Minister Bethel to respond to your suggestion about a youth counselor, what the youth counselor should be like, how would she implement this in being a youth pastor at TDM? How are some of these things that you're stating going to be implemented for us, and then just in general? But the thing that you said about hypocrite, that was a statement that was made during the TV segment, was that the young people felt like churches are filled with hypocrites. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, or what you feel about that?
Okay. Here's my whole thing.
Oh, she took a different stand. Go ahead.
I feel like, I'm trying not to say people are human, because we've been learning in life enrichment class that that's some other world. But I feel like you can't hold, you should be able to hold leadership to a higher level, but I don't feel like you should hold them to, like, this imaginary level that they can't achieve, if that makes sense. So I feel like if you, like, one thing, like, okay, I know what I'm trying to say. So you can't say, like, you know, you're not supposed to do, like, you're not supposed to drink or something like that, but, like, last night, like you got a hangover right now.
Okay.
That's something I feel like that's going to turn me off, like, as far as, like, trying to talk to you.
Okay.
But I feel like if you, like, curse or something, I feel like that's a little more, you can't say, well, I'm not trying to talk to her. She just said the H word or something like that. Like, you just being petty, you just, like, looking for an excuse not to talk to somebody. That's what I feel about it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
No. I'm trying to get the gist of what you're saying, but for me it's hard. So maybe Minister Bethel, because on both of those scenarios that you gave, I'm like, no. So, I mean, you need to elaborate some more, or somebody needs to try to help her with that thought process, because I'm missing it. Anybody?
I know I'm trying to say it. I don't know.
Don't think too hard. Just say it. and then maybe it'll come out better. Okay, there she's thinking hard.
Okay, basically, you can't tell me to do something. Well, you can, but you know that you do it yourself. And basically I'm saying, if you're looking for somebody, or when you can't call, oh my gosh. I'm trying to say, like, you can't, it should be levels. I feel like if you want somebody to be forgiving of you and, like, open to you, I don't feel like you should judge other people if you don't want to be judged, basically. So you can't try to hold them up higher than the level that they are.
Okay. Now, when you saying that, interject.
I was going to ask, are you talking about the counselor or the counselee holding that person up to that higher level?
The counselee.
The patient. Okay, so the counselor holding the patient up to a level, a higher level.
Twisted.
The patient is holding the counselor up to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that the counselor shouldn't tell the patient something if the counselor isn't doing it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand it.
I definitely can relate to that. My thing is, you know, when you were saying about holding them to a higher standard and that it should be like a degree of it, you know, like if you're on a certain area, you know, I'll let you kind of slide, but then as you get to a certain point, then I'm expecting more from you.
Right.
And I think that that's a good premise because as you learn to do better, you know, I expect better from you. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that the thing of it is that don't dummy down when I call you on something and I feel like you should be at a certain level. And then when I call you on it, you be like, oh, man, but I'm young. No, you dummying down now. You know what I'm saying? You can't dummy down. You understand what I'm
saying?
You saying
the counselor is doing that?
The counselor, whomever. You know, the counselee, for sure. Okay, so if I call you on something, or as young people, if I call you on something and say, you know, well, you know, you did this and maybe you should have looked at it from a different aspect. Oh, well, I'm young. You know, you can't expect me, blah, blah. Then to me, you're dummying down. So what is the differentiating factor as to where the levels are going to be? And that's only going to come to me through me as a pastor, through Minister Bethel as a youth pastor, knowing you and knowing your level of knowledge of the Word of God and holding you accountable. You feel me? We have to hold you accountable to the Word of God. And that's the thing that needs, I think, to be understood. Any feedback from you guys on that? Am I being too harsh? Because you know I can be really mean. And they're laughing because they say that all the time. Are bossy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the thing where I'm at. So give me some more feedback. Minister Bethel, you got any? Say, come on, Lebelon, you can come while you're coming.
Yeah, so definitely just wanted to talk about, you know, she mentioned a good point of not being a hypocrite and wanting that counselor or that person to be someone of good character and integrity. And I believe that that's something that's very important because as a parent or as a adult or someone of a positive influence, no, you don't want to be telling someone not to do something and then you're doing it. Yes, a lot of times adults use the phrase or, you know, I'm the adult, you're the child. But when we're talking about living a Christian life, we all have the same Bible, which has the same rules that go for everybody, whether you're an adult or whether you are a child. And then just being a person of good character, confidentiality is definitely important, unless it's a thing of matter of life or death. And I think that the youth should have an understanding about that. You mentioned, Pastor, churches having youth counselors.
Yes.
And I think that there is definitely a difference between, they name them youth counselors, but they're not. They're just volunteers.
Right.
They're just, you know, people that's of age.
True.
Kids kind of migrate to them, but they're not necessarily the counselor. Not saying that they have to have PhD, MBA, and all of that type of degree, but actually having
you know, a level of knowledge, biblical knowledge, sound knowledge, sound doctrine, you know, in them so that they can direct the youth in a different way. A lot of times the youth kind of migrate to that person who, the popular person or the one that says, I keep it real, or, you know, I'm just keeping it 100, and then telling, you know, doing the same thing that you're up, that you guys are pretty much doing. But you don't want that type of influence.
Right.
Someone that's going to say yes to all of your stuff. You don't want that. You want somebody that's definitely going to hold you accountable.
Definitely.
And you have to be willing to be held accountable. So if I ask a question, do any of you have an issue with being held accountable? What would your answer be?
Good.
Yes.
No.
Why? Speak up. Why do you have a problem being held accountable?
Because church used to feel like that since we like old enough that we should be know how to do this and do that, and like they should know that I don't know how to say it.
That's okay. Come on, just say it.
I feel like that we're old enough to learn how to be like an adult. I feel like that it's just we're young, like, of course we're going to have a young mind, a young mindset. I don't know how to say it.
Okay. I think, you said that, you know, we're expecting for you to act like adults when you're actually young people. And that, but accountability isn't holding you accountable to a certain, like, making you be an adult. It's holding you accountable for where you are and holding you accountable with the word of God. So when you say that, again, going back to where Kiara said, that you can't hold on to the premise that, well, you know, I'm just young. That's a cop-out statement, you know, or I don't know. That's a cop-out statement, especially at TDM, because we go through life enrichment, we go through scriptures, we go through our identity in Christ. These are things that we go over. So you know who you are, you know what the Word of God says, and so that's the standard of which we're holding you accountable. We're not holding you accountable for what you don't know. We're holding you accountable for what you do know. If you don't know, it's our responsibility to tell you that, and then put you on the right path. And then the next time, now you know. Now we're holding you accountable. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else?
I wanted to go back to what you were saying, Ms. Mathieu. Because, like, I feel like it's certain people that can do the job of counseling. It's the way their attitude is. So, like, say, for instance, if something, they just got through arguing with somebody, you got to be the right person, because, like, if I'm trying to come to you, you should be able to, you know, have a certain attitude, you know, not focusing more on what I did and more on helping me stop doing what I just did.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then a certain attitude that they're given.
A certain attitude?
Right. So, like, if certain adults, they'll keep focusing on, you know, why you do that? You know, you ain't supposed to be doing that. You need to stop doing that. They ain't telling you how to stop doing it.
Okay.
They attitude about it is like, okay, but you're not helping me, so I'm not going to come to you no more.
Okay.
Then young children, they don't know who to talk to about it. So
okay.
I
think that was a good analogy that you just brought up, especially the point about, you know, telling you not to do it, but not telling you how not to do it. And so, you know, putting in place some things or implementing some practices that you can do that will help you do it. For instance, with our son's ministry, we talked about anger. We talked about how anger is a good emotion. It's an emotion that God gave you. But when anger turns to bitterness, when anger turns to rage, these are the things that you need to do in order to keep from going down that road. Now it's up to you to put it in practice. you have to put it in practice. So I think that's a good analogy of what you said. So any feedback from anybody else with reference to telling you how to do it? Do you feel like there's a subject matter now, right now? Is there a subject matter that you feel like somebody's told you not to do it, but they haven't given you some biblical principles and practices of how not to do it? Does that make sense? Did I just kind of fluff that? No? Okay, good. Feedback? Anybody? No? Minister Bethel, we don't want dead air.
No, but I do definitely agree with that fact of making sure that we show or tell them how to do something or how not to do something. Definitely want to, you know, lead them and guide them on the correct path once you correct that error.
Right.
Give them different, you know, different ways, different principles, you know, to a more excellent way of doing something.
Okay.
So I definitely agree with that.
Definitely. Now, my next question to you guys is this. You intermingle with a lot of people at your school, and one of the things that you brought out during the television broadcast was the fact that when you talk to your peers at school who were once in church and they're not in church anymore, what were some of the reasons that were given, and how did you respond? Okay, we have Kiara coming.
Okay, so my friend, Autumn, she gay, and she said, oh, well,
okay.
That's a common name. she gay, and, like, she said, like, one day, like, she'll come to church or something like that. What? Anyway, she'll come to church, and, like, she said basically her church shamed her for the way she dressed. She said they shamed her for her being gay, and then she said they shamed her because her phone went off, and then, like, it was, like, cussing or something in there.
Okay.
And she said, like, they suspended her.
Her ringtone?
Yeah.
Okay.
She said they, like, suspended her for church for, like, 3 weeks. Like, she couldn't go to church no more for, like, 3 weeks.
Oh.
And I was like, I said, that makes no sense. I'm like, that's not normal. She's like, that's why I don't go to church. Church don't make sense. You're supposed to be helping me. I'm like, you need to find a different church. I was like, you should come to my church. I was like, because that just doesn't make any sense. Like, I feel like they'll have, like, one situation, and they feel like that's how it is for everybody. Instead of, like, even telling, like, their parents, I don't feel comfortable with this church, or this isn't interesting me. And then I'm pretty sure that their parents will try to find them a different avenue.
Okay, that was good information. And so you shared that with her, then perhaps she needs to kind of, first and foremost, she needs to share with her parents how she feels.
Well, that made her parents mad, and that's why they stopped going to.
Oh, so the whole family just stopped going to church?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, that's sad. And so you see this person ongoing at school, and have you, like, reached out to her to come visit or even to just go to other churches in the area? I'm not sure what area of the city she lives in, but you definitely, like you said, don't put us all in one box. Don't put the body of Christ all in one box. If you have a bad experience, like you said, with one church, then you should reach out and go somewhere else, but definitely not stop going to church. You should, you know, continue to go to church. But that was good. I'm glad you shared that information with her, and we definitely want to keep her in our prayers as well. Okay? Anybody else? No names.
This is Bilal again. And my friend, I talked to him, and I feel that he said to me that the reason he don't go to church is because his father don't go to church, and if his father start going to church, he will. I think that parents now, they don't putting their children to go to church, so They don't feel that they need to. They feel that their life's good, so what's the reason they need to go to church? They don't understand the church. They don't know who God is. So.
Okay. So what are your suggestions to this friend? What is it that, how do you minister? How do you evangelize a friend in that scenario?
Well, what I told him was I started selling, you know, churches for, you know, learning, and I was telling him that, you know, in the beginning, you know, with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they was originally going to hell, and the only way we was going to be connected with God again and go to heaven was through Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you're going to go to heaven again. And if you read your Bible and go to church, you're going to learn more, and it's going to help your life. It's going to help you be a better person and stop doing the wrong things and know what's the wrong thing.
Okay, definitely. Good job. Anybody else want to share? Minister Jaree, I haven't heard from you. And then I probably need to hear from Jaden. I haven't heard from Jaden. And, of course, last but never least, we're going to hear from Drayshawn at some point in this segment. Come on, Minister. Come on aboard. All right, so Minister Jaree is coming.
I don't have a scenario about that.
Okay, but I want to hear your voice, so come over closer. Okay, so anything that we've expounded on thus far that you need to?
I think it was a question that was, how can the church start? It was something about the church talking to our youth, or it was about the police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, the church as a body, we need to start reaching out more and going out and talking to the youth, and not just the youth, the adults, because if we just sitting back and watching, it's not going to make a change. So as a church, we need to start standing up and making changes.
Good. All right. So you said that, and what I'm hearing too is that communication is like a big problem, that we're not communicating on your level. Would you say yes to that, or am I off kilter? Are we communicating to you in a way that you can understand it, in a way that's going to prompt you or get you to the next level that you need to be? Because you're saying that we can't just sit there. We have to get out, talk to the young people, you know, and start kind of pulling them in, and reverbing it, pulling them in to the body of Christ, that we have to begin to do some things to make changes, right?
Yes.
So communication. How can we communicate with you better? How do you think we can communicate with you better as adults?
Like we said before, like, we need to have more topics on youth things, and not saying less topics on adult, but sometimes you could throw topics in there adult, but now in the world that we're living in, it's mostly talking about adult situations.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I saw you. Okay, come on, Dante. Ooh, hallelujah, Dante is saying something.
I feel like that the churches should have more youth meetings.
Okay.
Like, before we used to have the boys be
right, so it's ministry.
It's like, I feel like that's the reason why, like, that's the reason why we don't do more in church.
Okay. Let me ask you something with reference to the son ministry, and I'm glad you brought that up. As young men, do you feel like the son's ministry is better led by a man, or do you feel like whomever can lead it? Because it's, by a man. So that's, okay, and I see some heads shaking. So give me some feedback. Come on, Jaden. Jaden is coming, everybody. Woo-hoo. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, give me feedback.
I don't feel like it should only be led by men because since you've been Auntie Katie's been helping me with my anger and stuff, I got better. So I don't feel like it should just be like a man. It can be like both.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, come on. Who else I had? Okay, all right. I love this. I am so excited. Go ahead.
I don't feel like it should just be a man because, like you were saying about the age, the Bible doesn't say that that you need to be taught by a man. It's anyone that knows the Lord and can tell about his word.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Come on. They popping up like popcorn now, y'all. Hallelujah.
I think that it should be led by whoever, because, like, man, they, like, get to, like, they want to discipline us more than, like, talk to us.
Okay. So you don't want to be disciplined. I'm not hard enough. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No.
That's it. So, okay.
I feel like they get better led by
it's
woman.
Not
going to
discipline
them. Yeah, like, talk to them. Right. Like, discipline us, like, it's not going to work. It's going to make us do it more.
Okay.
Like, if you sit down and talk to us, like, we'll get more understanding to it.
Okay. Thank you. You cleaned that up very well. Amen. Anybody else? Come on, Drayshawn, I haven't heard from you. Drayshawn is coming. I'm looking at my phone. If anybody got a question that they want to ask, you definitely also can text me at that same number, area code 708-574-2533. If you got a question that you'd like to ask our young people, please text at that number. Thank you. Go ahead, Drayshawn.
Well, now I changed my answer.
Okay.
Because I think the same thing men's going through, women can go through the same thing.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. Now, I would love to say okay to that, but there are definitely some gender issues. That have you ever had a cramp? There are some things that women go through that men you don't know anything about going and having cramps. You don't know anything about bloating. You know, so my point being that there are some things definitely that women go through that men are not going to go through. There are some things that a man will be able to tell you that I might, and you know your pastor can get very raw, and I'm really trying not to get raw. But there are some things that you guys go through I haven't gone through, okay? And that's all I'm going to say about that. Because in my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's this, and this. But so I think that it's imperative, you know, that you definitely have a man's point of view, Drayshawn, but I also think it's imperative that it be coupled with, you know, with the woman's touch as well. Now, here's my problem that I was having, and the reason why our son's ministry kind of, like, tapered off was because of the fact that I felt like you did need a man in there, like when you all were doing the lifts, lifting the weights, and things of that nature. Your pastor can't lift what Bilal can lift. Bilal Senior can lift, and Quashe was lifting. Can't do it. I can spot you, but my spotting of some of the weight that you guys, I wouldn't have been a good spotter. You feeling me? And so we definitely were looking for someone who would stand up and be willing to take the reins of that. Mentorship is very important in the body of Christ, and that's something that's lacking in the church. Nobody really wants to give their time to minister and mentor the young people. And when you're talking about mentorship, let me just say mentorship is not just saying you my big brother or you my big sister, but you're never available. Mentorship is about availability. It's somebody to walk with you through life, somebody you can call on, you know, and say, you know, this is what I'm going through right now. I don't know how to handle it. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that mentorship is very important in the body of Christ and that we need to step up. That's why now the world is asking for it, because there was a point in time when mentorship was good in the church, and now it's kind of tapered off. Everybody's doing their own thing, and nobody really wants to walk with the young people. And I think it's because, too, we don't want to be held accountable either. Can I just put it out there? Adults don't want to be held accountable. Mm-mm. If you hanging around me and seeing all my dirt, you might tell somebody. So I don't want you hanging around me. And I tell anybody, I do not have a problem with you. Can come and stay with me a whole week. You ain't going to get no more information than you would if you used to hang with me on a Sunday morning, because I'm pretty much the same. Are you with me? And so we have to learn as adults. I feel like we have to learn how to be accountable. And like Kiara and others have said, we can't be hypocrites. We can't tell our young people to live one way and we live another way. We can't live on a different code of ethics than we're giving our young people. And so whatever we're teaching them, We got to begin to live it out ourselves. It's no more, you know, my mom used to say, do what I say, do. Don't do what I do. No, that premise is gone. It's do what I do. Walk like I walk. Why? Because I'm walking like Jesus. Okay, I feel like I needed to take a text right there, but I'm okay. Woosha. All right. So, any other comments? Anything else that the young people have to say? Minister Bethel, anything you want to say?
This one.
Go ahead.
I guess I wanted to ask a question. Since we were talking about what more does the church need to do to draw you? What is it about your young pop culture, I don't want to say the world, but what is it about society or culture that draws you?
Come on.
What draws me into church is the music.
In the world or to the church?
Church.
Okay, so you're not interested in any of the worldly music that you hear. You don't, I mean, you don't even move when you hear that music. The world music doesn't make you dance. Only church music makes you dance.
No.
All right. Right. So what would you rather listen to is a question. Would you rather listen to worldly music or church music? And don't give me the answer you think I want to hear. Give me the answer that's true. Worldly music. Why?
Because I understand it better.
Because you understand it better. Wow. Okay. I would really like for you to elaborate that on that just a little bit. What is it that you understand about worldly music that you don't understand or that you feel like you it's lacking in Christian music? What is it? Because you said you understand it better. What is it? Understand, relate to it. What is it that you're relating to in that music that you're not feeling like you're relating to or it's not reaching you in church, in gospel music? You can be honest. Okay. Somebody help me out. Help me say it to them. Are you guys understanding or am I speaking Spanish? Okay. Okay. So what is it about worldly music that you understand? Because you said that you understand. You said you understand it better. What is it about worldly music that you understand more so than you do with gospel music? What are you relating in worldly music that's not relatable in gospel music?
The moves.
The moves. So is the moves or is it the beat?
Mood.
The mood.
Oh, that didn't really answer me. I get what he's saying because...
I'm a sweat baby.
I get what he's saying because, like, just now, that's like when you first asked the question, which one would you rather listen to? I said for both situations, it depends on which song.
Okay.
Because, like, something, like, Kirk Franklin, I like Kirk Franklin. Because, like how you said, it's a better mood. It's better, like, turn up. Like,
okay.
Turn up for Jesus, you know? But, like, some songs, I just, like, I can't even get, like, when you say worldly, that made me think, like, you're talking about, like, you know, like
she got
like
a
some trap music or something. Like, and I don't even do that. Like, I like Taylor Swift. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah, as far as like the mood, it's better. Like, I feel like as far as with youth, not a lot of us have had the experience of like speaking in tongues, like catching the Holy Ghost or something like that.
Okay.
And sometimes that's what the song, like worship songs especially, are like kind of talking about as far as like just seeing your face or something like that. And
okay.
Like, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That is a good question. And I'm glad you brought that up.
time to get up. No, I'm just kidding.
So that was actually a thought that I had in my head, especially from Sunday when we did the life enrichment lesson about the wise men and the gifts that they presented to Christ, and how gold was kind of representative of the king and how they came and they worshipped him. And I think I reflected back, because I believe I heard it either from you before or I've heard it from youth before, saying that they can't get into that mode of praise or worship because they haven't had the experience that most adults have had that kind of catapult them or push them into a place of praise and worship.
Wow.
And the thing that I thought about with that scripture, with the wise men, is they didn't need an experience to worship Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They knew about him. They learned about him, but they didn't need to go through any trial or situation or hardship or sickness or illness to worship him. But just the thought and the information, the knowledge that they had about him was enough. That was enough. So let the knowledge that you have about Christ, let that be enough to bring you to a place of worship. If you have to use the fact that you've never had to go through anything, that's an instance, that's an issue, that's a situation or to praise him. Just the fact that I haven't had to go through anything, because he's covered you, because he's been there for you. His grace and his mercy has covered you and brought you to that place. So a lot of times our youth, they'll just sit there because they feel like, well, I haven't gone through anything. So why am I worshiping? Why am I praising? I don't have a reason to. But you have every reason to, because you have the knowledge of who he is. And in an instance, that's all you need. That's all you need.
Now, the thing of it is and I have to, first and foremost, as a pastor, as a person, I've always been a praiser. I say praiser because, like Dante, like Drayshawn, music moved me. And so at church, when the music was going and the spirit was high, we was clapping up, hey, I can start moving. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say I've always been a praiser. But it wasn't until I became knowledgeable of who God is, who Jesus is, what he really did, the price that he paid so that I wouldn't have to pay it, then I learned how to become a worshiper. And worship isn't doing what I do. Worship is doing what you do to acknowledge him. Does that make sense? Whatever you do, that's why I tell you at TDM, as long as you're doing it to give worship and praise to God, I don't have a problem with it. Now, if I see some other kind of spirit, then deliverance takes place. Plain and simple. You come out. You know what I'm saying? But as long as you're doing it, whatever you do, that's why when Kaleo one time bust out and everybody was like, what? What did he just do? He did what he knew to do to worship him. That was his form of worship. Who was I to say, that's not how you worship? Because worship is personal. Worship is personal. So don't ever feel, Kiara, I've seen you in a praise mode when you were miming. And you went so high up in the ceiling, I didn't think you was going to come back down. But that was your way. That's not how I would do it, but that's how you do it. You understand what I'm saying, young people? Don't try to fit your worship into the box of your parents or in the box of your pastor or in the box of evangelist. Put it in your box, your own personal way. This is how I worship. You may just wave your hand. You may just start clapping. Whatever it is that you do, you may just rock. Whatever it is that you do, let that be your own personal way of worshiping him for who he is. This is how I am going to exhibit who God is and what he's done for me. Okay? So don't ever feel like, and that was another thing that you guys brought out, was that, you know, we tell you how to do. And I think it was you, actually, Kiara, who made the statement. You was like, you know, you guys, you tell us praise and worship, and then when we don't do it the way you do it, you tell us it's not acceptable. You too quiet. You ain't this. Because we didn't do make that statement. Because how many times have we gone to a program where a person said, you ain't loud enough for me. Well, I don't praise loud. I'm quiet. You got to make some noise. Why? So I began to reflect and think about that, how we actually tried to categorize it and make it a step or a certain way when that's really not fair to you. It's not fair to tell you you have to do it a certain way, okay? So whatever it takes for you to exhibit your worship, whatever it takes for you, whatever level you're on and your knowledge of him to portray that, then that's what you do. Are you with me? And I release you even now. I release you even now. Ha, yeah, can't dare, you don't know, but shop. I release you even now to begin to exhibit that worship, to begin to exhibit that praise in the manner of which you know God, and that your level of knowledge of him, that you're coming into a more excellent way in your knowledge of him so that your worship can go to new levels, that there'll be no boundaries, hallelujah, to your praise, there'll be no boundaries to your level of worship. In Jesus' name, I consider it done. Amen and amen and amen. All right, we're up on the 8:21. We're at 8:21, and so we're just going to start kind of wrapping up some things. I was trying to go over some of my questions. Any more afterthoughts or anything that anybody wanted to say, Minister Bethel? Come on.
Okay, I had a couple of things to say.
Okay.
I think one of the main problems is communication. And young people, they don't understand certain songs, just like you said. So understanding is like when certain songs saying rain on me or glory, they don't understand the premise of raining on or glory. They don't understand what that is. They would rather listen to something else that's, you know, you can dance to, you can turn up to, or the certain story of it, get them moving, the present music. They would like to have that instead of like old slow songs. It's like not even just talking about songs, like certain preachers. I see it on television or something. They talk for a long time. They give a lot of metaphors. A lot of young kids don't know what
it's not relatable. Okay.
So it gets boring, and I used to fall asleep a lot of times in church.
Oh, wow. That just hurt me.
Not
okay.
You know,
okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And that's good. I'm glad. Now, here, help me understand. What is turn up?
Turning up is like getting the mood up, like,
you turn. You excited. You into the music.
Like you excited.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's it. I'd be turning like
the certain music or
so. Like okay, so like Ty Tribbett like stuff is turned up.
Yes.
Okay, and then.
In your version of turn up, Kirk Franklin would be a turn up. That didn't make sense,
Marvin.
But okay.
Marvin Sapp.
Marvin Sapp would be a turn down.
That's more somebody like I feel like I have two. I don't know. Like I could be turned if I'm just like vibing to a song.
Okay.
Like if the song is kind of mellow, but it has like good lyrics.
Okay.
And sometimes like good like I feel like that's it don't have like some like Christian music, it all kinda has like that sound that's and I feel like that's why Kirk Franklin and Ty Tribbett are different. Because like they instruments are more like
right.
Like you know I'm certain if I'm trying to if I'm going back and forth from like three different songs. So I'm trying to sing the lead, the background and the trumpet. Like that's the turn tone right there. It's just like kinda
mellow.
Yeah. So is it the rhythm, the beat that draws you, or is it the lyrics?
It's the rhythm and it's the certain lyrics. So like.
So you listen to the rhythm, the beat first before you listen to the lyrics.
That's and this is very important. That's
why it's different for me.
Okay.
What is it?
What about, yeah.
Like, stuff that irritates me It's like when it's like one line 12 times. That's irritating.
Okay.
Like, I don't. Yeah. But, and you can have like great instruments, but I'm not finna keep, I'm not finna say that. Not more. No more. No. Jesus heard it already. But like, so that's why I feel like that's, yeah.
Okay. What do you have to say about the topic matter, Jaden?
No.
You gotta love Jaden. He said nothing. Okay. And so, the reason why I ask that is because we say it a lot. And the source that gave us that particular phrase,
right,
it's kind of like, we couldn't come up with nothing on our own. You know what I'm saying? The source.
What about turned up?
Yeah. Who gave us who? Where did that phrase come from? You don't use it?
No.
Okay. Okay. You say turned, not necessarily turned up. Now, the lyrics of a song, let's go back to that. The lyrics of a song, because the lyrics are vitally important. The Word of God says that the words that come out of our mouth, they produce life or they produce death. And so when you're listening to music, I don't care if it's secular music or Christian music, when you're listening to music and you're saying the words that you hear, you're releasing something into the atmosphere. And so I want you to note that. I'm trying to see where I am in time. Yeah, it's 8:26. So when you're listening to words, I want you to be very mindful that the words are something that's positive. You don't want to listen to stuff that's putting garbage in your ear and that you're releasing actually curses to yourself. You're releasing death to yourself because you're saying, because the music is good and you just bobbing to the music, but the words are so contradictory to the Word of God. And so I want you as young people to definitely start being mindful of that because you made mention of it. And you have a look as though you need to repent. Go ahead. What do you got to say? Yes, you do. I could say your mouth dropped open. I saw what you ate for dinner. What you got to say? Okay, he's not going to share. Not a problem. You're going to share with me later? Promise? Promise?
Not saying anything.
Promise?
Promise? No, he's not promising. That's good. Okay, so I just want you all to kind of be mindful of that. I got off track again with where I was going with that next area. Now, there are some traits. Some three common traits that I did note that said that these are the things that we can do so that young people don't stray away from the Word of God. And one of them is to be converted. One of them is to know why you are a Christian, to know it for yourself why I'm a Christian, so that nobody can deter you from that. Do you all that are present in this room, do you know why you're a Christian? Yes, I got a yes, I got a no.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, if somebody asks you right now, Dante, why are you a Christian? What would you say?
He said no.
I know. What would you say? Okay. Somebody help him. Why do you say? Kiara, why you said yes? Why do you say that you're a Christian?
I would say I'm a Christian because, like, I feel like I've experienced God, so I know He's real. So I feel like I need to glorify Him, and like I don't want to go to hell. So
okay, come on, Sibylla, why are you Christian? In 20 seconds or less.
I'm a Christian because I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me so I can be reconnected with God. And I know that we was disconnected from God because of Adam and Eve.
Okay. Now, Confucius died.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Martin Luther King died.
Oh, Jesus Christ is God's son. So he was sent, God sent Jesus Christ, His beloved son, to die on the cross for us, for our sins.
Come back to life.
And he was resurrected.
Don't leave him dead.
Please don't leave him on the cross. Okay. He was like, he was resurrected. Okay, I kind What you got? I love y'all so much. Why are you a Christian? Trisha. You never thought about that. Why are you a Christian? Jerry.
Okay. I'm a Christian because, like Kiara said, I experienced Christ, and I actually saw Jesus Christ for him. Not seeing him like
that. Not physically seeing him.
I've talked to the Lord before. I'm going to put it like that.
Okay.
And I have been through things that no one else could have brought me out of but him.
Okay, thank you. All right, this has been Blog Talk Radio, and you've been listening to Nothing But the Truth with Truth Deliverance Ministry and Pastor Katie Pierce, and we've been here with our young people, and they have said some very interesting things, as I am sure is going to help our very own Minister Bethel Hall with their next life enrichment class. And so I'm sure they have a lot of assignments that are going to be birthed from today. So we do appreciate your listening in, and we look forward to you joining us on next Tuesday. Our youth segments will be every fifth Tuesday. Our youth will be coming forth next Tuesday. The next Tuesday that they'll be here will be March the 29th in 2016. They'll have their own segment. I'm going to take a step back and actually let them do the whole segment themselves. And so we appreciate your joining in. Thank you for the questions that you guys were texting to us. We appreciate that as well. So until next Tuesday, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone. And wait till I sign off.